Hello and welcome to Background Briefing. I'm Ian Masters, and today we'll look into a number of stories and issues in the news. We'll begin with the so-called Jobs Act, now heading to the White House for the president's signature. Jeff Mahoney, the general counsel of the investor watchdog group, the Council of Institutional Investors, joins us to assess the damage that this deregulation of Wall Street in the name of job creation will do to unsophisticated mom-and-pop investors who will soon be prey to boiler room hucksters, now free to advertise in almost any medium. Then a former health insurance insider, Wendell Potter, joins us to analyze why the Affordable Care Act is vulnerable to having the individual mandate overturned by the Supreme Court. A former chief corporate spokesman for Cigna and the head of corporate communications at Humana, Wendell Potter is the author of Deadly Spin. An insurance company insider speaks out on how corporate PR is killing healthcare and deceiving Americans. Then finally, we will assess the chances of Kofi Annan's so-called peace plan for Syria going anywhere, given that as a precondition, the opposition will be asked to surrender to the regime that is killing its own people and trust that they have any interest in reform. A former Syrian diplomat and professor of Middle East studies at the National Defense University, Muharraf Shujaati, joins us to analyze the Annan plan and discuss the Arab League summit now underway in Baghdad, where Syria is on the agenda but not present, having been expelled from the Arab League. And joining us now is Jeff Mahoney, the general counsel of the Council of Institutional Investors and a professor of law at the Washington College of Law at American University. Previously, he was counsel to the chair of the Financial Accounting Standards Board. He currently co-chairs the Financial Accounting Standards Board's Investors Technical Advisory Committee and serves on the NASDAQ Listing Qualifications Hearing Panel and the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board Standing Advisory Group. Welcome to Background Briefing, Jeff Mahoney.
Thank you.
And you're the chief counsel with the investor watchdog group, the Council of Institutional Investors. Who are your clients?
The Council is a not-for-profit association that represents public, corporate, and union employee benefit plans from across the country.
Pension plans, largely, I take it.
Yes.
So, obviously, you're concerned about the passage of the so-called Jobs Act. And what is it about this act? I mean, there was the bill went from the House, I think, only 26 Democrats voted against it in the House. It went into the Senate. There was an effort in the Senate led by Senator Levin and others to put some teeth into this bill. The bill was originally pushed in the House by Eric Cantor. It's gone back to the House. Apparently some concessions were made, but give me a sense of whether there was any consumer protection put back into this bill.
On the Senate side, there was some consumer protection provisions put into the bill with respect to the crowdfunding provisions.
Explain crowdfunding for the audience because they don't know that one.
Well, crowdfunding is a way to access capital through the internet. So there's a question of how that can be done without investors being scammed. That part of the bill, though it was of great interest to many retail investors, was not the focus of the council's concerns. Our focus and our members' focus is on corporate governance best practices. Our members believe that if companies have good corporate governance best practices, that enhances long-term shareholder value, so that therefore benefits our fiduciaries of our members, which are mainly workers and retirees. So the area that we focused on in the bill is a section of the bill that is often referred to as the IPO on-ramp section. That section, in essence, allows IPOs
initial public offerings,
newly formed public companies, from avoiding certain provisions of the federal securities laws for some period of time. Some of those provisions are best practices as viewed by our membership, And therefore, we raise concerns about those best practices being deferred for these newly formed companies.
Well, some of these regulations, the Sarbanes-Oxley bill, which is now being effectively gutted, these regulations were put in place after the end of the dot-com bubble and the collapse of Enron. And under this new jobs bill, which is now heading for the president's desk and his signature, companies with up to $1 billion in annual revenues would be free to ignore for the first 5 years as a public company these regulations that were put in place. I mean,
that's right. We, as well as SEC Chairman Mary Schapiro, raised concerns about the triggering qualifications for these, quote, emerging growth companies to be able to avoid regulations. As you indicated, it's $1 billion and $700 million in market cap. That has been estimated to encompass most all initial public offerings in this country. Some have said more than 90% of IPOs would qualify for these exemptions.
So for somebody like you who is trying to advise your clients who are pension plans, et cetera, about a good, secure investment, under the new bill, then you won't know what they're paying the CEOs. I mean, that's always that's the kind of canary in the minefield, isn't it? How much the founding partners are pocketing.
There's some very important information and shareholder rights that it will not be allowed for some period of time for these new companies because of the legislation. One area that our members were very supportive of, and that is consistent with our membership-approved policies, is that Dodd-Frank required public companies to have an annual advisory vote on the executive compensation packages. This provision, which became effective last year for most public companies, significantly increased the level of communication between share owners in compensation committees at companies with respect to the compensation packages of their executives and how those packages enhance long-term performance. This bill would defer the application of that provision for IPOs for up to 5 years.
And this then would make the particularly unsophisticated investors and kind of mom-and-pop investors and your clients vulnerable to what's referred to as pump and dump, right? Because just to explain that for a second, this bill allows advertising of stocks in almost any medium, right?
That's another provision of the bill that does allow greater advertising of IPOs and newly public companies than would have been allowed under existing federal securities laws.
So they'll be advertised on television just like on Glenn Beck's TV show. They used to advertise gold bullion and gold coins and stuff like that. They'll have that ability to go on television and tell investors about this fabulous offering.
Well, you're correct to point out that many of the provisions of this legislation focus on or will have an impact on retail investors. And many believe, including SEC Chairman Mary Schapiro, that there are some dangers in this bill for retail investors, where, as you pointed out, they will get less information. In some cases, they may get more inaccurate and misleading information that would be permitted under the existing federal securities laws and regulations.
But the pump and dump, it refers to the notion, and this is why it looks like the Jobs Act has been a carte blanche for pump and dump fraudsters, because if you're allowed to use the media to pump up your product in misleading and exaggerated ways, then all that money flocks in, and because of the five-year window, the investor doesn't know what the CEOs and the founding partners of the IPO are doing with this money, and then at any point or other, I take it they're free to just dump the shares after they've taken what they want.
There is that danger. It's going to be curious to see how this plays out and whether or not this increases the level of investment scams that workers, retirees, senior citizens, and others may be exposed to. Time will tell, but there is certainly provisions in this bill that will make it easier for those who want to abuse the system have more leeway to do that under the federal securities laws. Now, one issue here is that this legislation will result in rulemaking by the SEC, so we'll have a number of rules put out for comment by the SEC to implement this law. So there will be an opportunity for our members and others to weigh in on those proposals. However, the proposals will be limited given the language in the bill. There won't be a lot of leeway for the SEC on some of these provisions given the language in the bill. But that's one way that our members and we will participate in by providing comments as this law is put into regulations.
Again, I'm speaking with Jeff Mahoney, the General Counsel of the Investor Watchdog Group, the Council of Institutional Investors. He's also a professor of law at the Washington College of Law at American University. So what are you telling your members then to avoid?
Well, we're actually having our semi-annual member conference next week here in Washington, and we have asked three of the leading security law professors in the country to take a look at that issue, and they're going to produce some issue briefs for our members focusing on the various provisions of the bill and discuss in those issue briefs what are the implications for institutional investors and what they ought to think about doing to prepare for the implementation of this bill.
But Jeff Mahoney, the SEC has not proven pretty, you know, they didn't notice Madoff, et cetera. They tend to be, you know, after the barn door is open and the horse is down the paddock. I mean, that's the problem, isn't it?
They've had some issues over the years, including recently, as you mentioned, with the Madoff situation. But sitting here in Washington, they are the only federal agency who has, as part of its mission, investor protection. So though they have some issues, they're the only body in town that has as part of its mission to consider and look at these investor issues. So we deal quite closely with them, and we will provide input to them as they go through the rulemaking and do what we can to improve upon this legislation through the regulatory process.
I don't know whether you had a chance to talk with Mary Shapiro, the head of the SEC, but I would think this new Jobs Act that the president's going to sign, it's going to give her a lot more work, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
And at the same time, the Republican Congress is cutting her budget, aren't they?
That is correct. She issued a letter on March 13th raising a number of concerns about the legislation, including the one you mentioned, the additional work, including the deadlines that the legislation sets for rulemaking. And as you point out, the SEC has not received the funding that they've requested. We've been active in that area as well. During Dodd-Frank, there was some provisions in the earlier versions of Dodd-Frank that would have provided them a stable source of independent funding. We were very supportive of those provisions, but during the conference committee, those provisions were taken out of the legislation, unfortunately. So the SEC is left in the position of Dodd-Frank added a number of new requirements to their existing requirements, and this will add more, and yet they don't have the funding to do the work, including the oversight that's needed.
But Jeff Mahoney, the people who argued against this bill, and as I say, initially in the House, there was very little objection. 24 Democrats voted against it in the House. In the Senate, a number of senators tried to have amendments, but Harry Reid pushed it through, requiring the 60-vote threshold. So everybody got to vote and express their objections, but it essentially didn't matter because there wasn't enough opposition to get to 60. There's some modifications made. The vote in the House, it was 380 to 41. So that's a pretty overwhelming vote. So it's a done deal, right?
It is a done deal. Fully expect the president will be signing this very shortly. Watching this in Washington, it's not unlike some things that have occurred in the past. You know, they renamed this legislation as it went along to the Jobs Act and to give the impression that this legislation will increase jobs, yet I'm not aware of a single piece of evidence that indicates that that's the case. It will be very interesting to see how this plays out. Will it create any jobs? And will it result in some problems in the market, particularly at the retail level? And will that have a negative impact on investor confidence? I think it's possible, and certainly Mayor Shapiro has shared this view, that if this does increase the amount of fraud in the marketplace, that could lead to a lower level of investor and consumer confidence in our market, and that would be bad for our members and for all investors.
Well, what I was suggesting earlier, though, is that if the people that are warning about how this will enable a lot of fraud and bring back the boiler rooms, and with the added advantage of now being able to advertise on just about any medium, they're going to be a lot of unsophisticated investors are surely going to be taken in, or at least they are vulnerable to this kind of onslaught that's going to come. I was suggesting that the underfunded SEC is going to have more work, not just in what you're talking about in preparing for the implementation of the new Jobs Act, but if the worst happens, as many predict, and there's a vast increase in fraud, they're not going to have the enforcement mechanisms to deal with it, right?
That's an excellent point, given their current funding status. If there is a significant uptick in fraud as a result of this legislation, you really have to question whether or not they're going to have the resources to deal with it. I think it's going to be a real challenge. They already are challenged right now in their oversight and enforcement activities, given their lack of resources and given all the new requirements put upon them in Dodd-Frank. I don't see that improving anytime soon, and if that is the result of this bill, that there is more fraud, it's going to be very difficult for the SEC to deal with it effectively, given the current level of their funding.
Well, just in closing, Jeff Mahoney, the president is going to sign it, and already in the Senate, Ron Wyden, a liberal Democrat, has said, as we move towards November, people are going to have to show some results. In other words, the Democrats are in a position where the Republicans can essentially blackmail them, and that's probably why they voted for this bill, right? If they voted against it, the Republicans would be screaming from the rafters that the Democrats are against jobs. Presumably, is that the motive why the president's? He's just been suckered into this by Eric Cantor to vote for something that sounds like it's about jobs, but is in fact about a huge payoff to bottom feeders on Wall Street.
Well, there's no question that renaming this the Jobs Act had some impact on who was supportive of this and how quickly the bill moved through Congress. And say, we'll see. We'll have to wait and see what the result is. Maybe it won't create the problems that Chairman Shapiro and others have indicated that it may. For our members, you know, we're going to have less information than we had before, less ability to oversee executive comp than we had before. This will be an additional risk that our members will have to take into account when managing their portfolios that they otherwise would not have had to spend time on but for this legislation. But I say the real impact is going to be at the retail level, and we'll just have to see how that plays out. This could end up being one of those bills that a few years down the line many point to as a big mistake that has could potentially increase the levels of fraud, particularly at the retail level.
Well, I thank you so much for joining us here today, Jeff Mahoney.
Thank you.
Again, I've been speaking with Jeff Mahoney, the general counsel of the Investor Watchdog Group, the Council on Institutional Investors. He's also a professor of law at the Washington College of Law at American University, and previously he was counsel to the chair of the Financial Accounting Standards Board. He's currently co-chairs the FSAB's Investors Technical Advisory Committee and serves on the NASDAQ Listing Qualifications Hearing Panel and the Public Company Accounting Oversight Board's Standing Advisory Group. We're going to take a brief station break and we'll be back talking about Kofi Annan's so-called peace plan for Syria.
You can't.